Yesterday marked the beginning of Pride Month. And this year, it will make it the 54th year that Pride celebrations have occurred in this country. What we now look and see as parades and concerts and just other festivities, they started out as marches that were more out of protest than they were out of celebration. And their purpose was to push for the equal rights and inclusion among LGBT+ persons. But that wasn't it. These early marches became an opportunity for those who weren't part of that community, what we would today call allies, to join in with their family and friends and show their solidarity, their support, and their shared anger at the persecution faced by LGBT+ people. And in that 54 years, we have come so far. But I think before we can pat ourselves on the back for being so progressive and caring, it's important to note that it was only in 1990 that homosexuality was removed from the World Health Organization's list of mental disorders. And it's only been 9 years that same-sex marriage has been legal nationally. And despite this fact, there are still 12 states in this country that have refused to repeal sodomy laws, even between two consenting adults, even though these laws can no longer be enforced. They reside on the rule books like a specter of a former time that is ready to spring into action. Additionally, half of the states in this country have bans or severe impediments placed on physicians providing gender-affirming care. In fact, 39% of trans youth ages 13 through 17 live in states with bans on gender-affirming care. And some states are even considering laws banning gender-affirming care for those up to 26 years old. With all of that in mind, I want to read you part of today's psalm. O God, you have searched me out and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways. Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O God, know it all together. You press upon me behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Unlike our world today, this psalm tells people, unlike the world today that is telling people that they shouldn't live into who they know themselves to be, the psalmist is declaring instead, in no uncertain terms, that the level of intimacy and care that God has for each of us, nothing about us is a secret to God. Nothing about us is foreign to God. Nothing about us is wrong or incorrect or disordered to God. And it's for this reason that the psalmist will later declare, "I will thank you because I am marvelously made." Actually, most translations of this line say something more akin to, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Now, I don't like the presence of the word fearfully here. To me, this changes the meaning entirely. We are still marvelous, but now we are created fearful as well. Many commentators will be quick to point out that fearing God is actually a good thing. They argue that fearing God causes us to want to follow God's laws more closely. And when we are so focused on following the rules, it will lead us into a deeper relationship with God and even into love of God. I don't buy it. It sounds to me far more like some sort of Christianized version of Stockholm Syndrome, where one empathizes and feels deeply and psychologically connected with their captor and abuser. Quite frankly, that is a God I want nothing to do with. I will sadly say, though, that fear has been a technique of the church for far too much of its history. Rosario Lonegro was only 20 years old when he entered a Catholic seminary in Sicily as an aspiring priest preparing to be ordained. But while he was there, he fell in love with another man, and his superiors demanded that he undergo conversion therapy intended to erase his sexual preferences if he wanted to continue on the path to the priesthood. It's the beginning of an article that the BBC ran yesterday outlining the ways that manipulation and guilt and fear and conversion therapy have been used and tried to exorcise Catholics in seminary from being gay. Many describe being told that homosexuality simply wasn't real. It was just in their heads. It was an abomination and a falsehood that must be suppressed and destroyed in their lives if they ever wanted God to love them. They were taught to fear God and to fear who they were. Rosario recalls what was drilled into him like a mantra: God didn't make me that way. God didn't make me homosexual. It's only a lie I tell myself. I am evil. I would love to tell you that this kind of activity was over long ago, but it's not. Many of these practices, while not officially endorsed by most churches, still remain present, especially according to this article, in an ever more conservative-leaning Italy. And sadly, Pope Francis, who made news in the last year by allowing priests to bless same-sex couples, and even declared that there was a place for everyone in the church, came under scrutiny this past week after using a highly offensive and homophobic slur, a term that I am horrified, quite frankly, that any clergy person would ever use, while he was in a meeting with bishops. And he even went so far as to say that homosexual men, even if they are celibate, should be barred from the priesthood. And it breaks my heart. Because this isn't what God wants. God wants Rosario and all people to believe fully that they are marvelously made. God doesn't want us to fear God. God is love. And we hear in Scripture that there is no fear in love. And despite its repeated use, the fear of God is never compatible with the love of God. Fear will never lead to love. Unfortunately, it doesn't have to. The word we get translated in our psalm as fearfully, while it can mean in the Hebrew fear, it has another more life-giving meaning. It can mean to have honor and respect and awe. The Old Testament scholar Robert Alter offers this translation instead: I acclaim you, for awesomely I am set apart. Wondrous are your acts, and my being deeply knows it. The marvelous way that each of us are made also sets us apart in a most awesome way. As you see, God sees you, all of you, the parts that you hide from others and from yourselves, God sees them. And instead of it scaring God away, God loves you more for it. Please don't fear God. The truth is that God deeply loves all of you, and you don't have to change a thing for God. God has set you aside as a beloved child in the hopes that you will be the most spectacular you that you can.